finished that worship at Point Pelee, and we were blessed to have no earthquakes and no floods. So welcome here, April. I have a few announcements this morning, and I believe June also has an announcement. Are there any others? Can you come on up if you like?
I don't see any kids. Oh, wait, I do. This is for next Sunday, kids. Open ears. We've got Mad Science coming, and it's a Bring a Friend Day. And something about up, up, and away, and something about a hot air balloon. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen next Sunday, but it sounds interesting. And a lot of other scientific things that he described to me that I didn't understand. So come on out. And if you're a kid at heart, you can come down and join us too.
So we want to encourage you to invite your friends out for Mad Science next Sunday. That's always a lot of fun. So please bring your friends and bring your parents if they want to come. Should be good times. I have a couple other announcements. Friday, May 11th, the youth are going to be enjoying the Kingsville Escape Room. We have two rooms. We have one room for junior youth and one room for senior youth. Please do RSVP and let me know if you're able to come. The cost is $10 a person, and if you feel that that's a tight budget for you, just let me know and we'll happily cover you. So we should have a really good time at the Escape Room. So let me know if you're able to make it for that. Cedar Point registration is also open for youth. We still have spaces available. So if you're able to come to Cedar Point, that's going to be a really fun day, the long weekend Monday. So let me know if you're able to come to that so we can get you registered and make sure that there's a space for you on the bus. Also, Saturday, May 12th, we're having something a little bit different. We're having a millennial party. So it's going to be called the Welcome Home Fiesta. We're going to have a Mexican theme. We're going to have music and snacks. It's going to be at the home of Fred and Linda Dreger. So please contact me if you're able to come to that. If you're kind of a millennial age person, that would be great to sort of reconnect with people who've been away from home for a while or maybe in university or working. So connect with the friends that you've gone to Sunday school with and haven't maybe seen for a little while. So come on out for that. Let's prepare our hearts now to enter into worship. We're going to read together a litany that you'll see on the screen. The Lord is our shepherd.
We shall not want.
Come to green pastures.
Where God restores our souls.
Come, everyone who suffers.
God will comfort us.
See, the table is set, even in the midst of our enemies.
God is our
Surely goodness and mercy are with us every day.
And God will welcome and provide for us forever.
Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, you are life itself to us. You refresh our souls just as you green the pastures in the springtime. Your comfort is like a pool of still water. In your presence, we can face pain and uncertainty. When we remember you, we are brave. Even our enemies cannot terrify us when you are here. We are lifted up along with all things good and merciful. Throughout our lives, we remain with you. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand now if you feel comfortable doing so. If you prefer to remain seated, that's also okay. And we'll join together in singing and celebrating the spring that's finally beginning to pop this weekend with number 648, Morning Has Broken. 648 in your blue hymnal. Stand if you wish.
Morning has broken.
invite the kids forward. Hi guys, welcome. Oh, thank you, that's beautiful. Thank you, I like that. Oh, I always like it when people make pictures, thank you. All right, so I have a question for you guys. I want you to put up your hand if you've ever had a pet. Who's ever had a pet before? Yeah? Well, most of you have had a pet before, haven't you? Yeah, you know what? I've had lots of pets too. And I had a lot of pets when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I lived in the country and had lots of space for many animals. Who here has ever had a pet sheep?
I have a pet. Do you?
You have a pet dog, but I bet you don't have a pet sheep, do you? Pet sheep? This is a little sheep here. He's Natalia's pet sheep. You know what though? When I was a kid, my brother actually had some real pet sheep. We had a friend who was a farmer, and our farmer friend had some baby lambs, and their moms couldn't look after them anymore. Their moms couldn't feed them enough milk, and so those baby lambs were very hungry, and they needed some help. They needed someone who could take care of them. And so that farmer called my family, and he asked if we could take care of those baby lambs. And my brother said, I'll do it. I love baby lambs. And so he did. So we took those baby lambs and we made a little pen for them inside of our house. Did you ever hear of sheep in a house before? No? Well, you know why we had to have them inside our house? It was because they needed to be fed milk all the time, even in the middle of the night. So my brother and my mom would have to get up and feed them their fresh milk, even in the middle of the night. So they didn't get to sleep for very much time, did they? So all day and all night, they would feed these baby lambs, and they really loved my brother because he fed them the most. His name was Jeff. And eventually, the baby lambs got bigger and bigger and stronger, and then we were able to move them out of the house and put them in the pasture. And so those baby lambs loved to play in the pasture, and they would run far away to the corner, so we couldn't catch them. They didn't like to be caught, so they would run away. But when my brother would come out of the house and he would call them, their names were Slippy and Dismo and Snowy, and he would call them Slippy, Dismo, Snowy, and they would come running, and they would run so fast when they saw my brother. And you know what? I could have called them all day, but they didn't care. They only liked my brother because he fed them all the milk. So they remembered him, and they knew him, and they knew his voice and what it sounded like. So my brother was a shepherd to those lambs. Well, a shepherd is a person who looks after baby sheep and big sheep. And you know, the Bible actually tells us that God is a shepherd to us. We are like the sheep that God looks after, like a shepherd. And you know what? The shepherd loves the sheep. The shepherd gets up in the night to take care of them. Did your mom and dad ever get up in the night to take care of you? Do you ever have a bad dream in the night? No? Sometimes? Yeah? Or need a snack or drink of water in the night and your mom and dad come and take care of you? God is like that. God takes care of us all the time, just like a shepherd takes care of the sheep, just like a mom takes care of a baby. God is like that for us. So let's say a prayer together and thank God for taking good care of us. Thank you, God, just like a shepherd takes care of their sheep, just like a mom takes care of a baby, you take care of us. Thank you for loving us. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can be dismissed. There's Sunday school this morning. All right. Have a good time in Sunday school. All right. right. I'll invite the ushers forward as we sing number 48, All Creatures of Our God and King. Remain seated for this one. We'll sing verses 1 to 4 and verse 7. So 1 to 4 and verse 7, number 48. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for all of the good things you have given to us. Homes to live in, food to eat, water to drink, and people to love. Bless these gifts that we offer back to you and receive them with our gratitude and thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Thank you, Natalia. Let's sing number 89 in the blue hymnal, For the Beauty of the Earth, and I invite you to stand if you wish, number 89.
Good morning. It's been wonderful to be here for the Women of MCEC Spring Enrichment Experience. It's been quite an experience for me, and I'd like to thank you for all that you have done in working to host this and in some of the planning. Thank you, Alicia. It's been wonderful to be part of that event, and thank you for inviting me to spend some time with you this morning. I bring you greetings from my home congregation from Emmanuel Mennonite Church in Abbotsford, British Columbia. They're 3 hours behind, so I imagine that they are just having their breakfast now and looking forward to Sunday school and worship. A few years ago, a writer friend of mine said that he had rewritten Psalm 23 in L. And at first I wasn't sure what he was talking about. Was L some kind of secret language? Was it a made-up language, kind of like Klingon or Vulcan in the Star Trek series? But what he meant was the letter L. So in his rewriting, in his paraphrase, "The Lord is my shepherd" became "The Lord is my leader." "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever" became "I will lodge with my Lord for limitless years." For him, it was a creative way to meditate on these very familiar words, to think deeply about each word, to write his own paraphrase. And so I decided to try it for myself using a different letter. So here is my version of Psalm 23 in the letter H. "The Lord is my hope. I heed his hailing. He grants me safe harbor. He hushes my hurry. He heals my hidden hurts. He heads me in his direction over hills and hurdles and highways. When my heart is heavy and the days are hard, I hold on, hang on to your hand that holds me, your hedge of protection, my haven from harm, your Holy Spirit, my highest help. You host me with your hearty harvest. You hem in the horrid and the hostile. You will harmony and health that makes me humble and whole. You honor me with your presence to hallow my every hour. So shall I be at home in the house of hope with heaven on the horizon." Of course, this doesn't take the place of the original text of Scripture. But I found that writing my own paraphrase in this way gave me a new appreciation for these familiar words. And instead of skipping over them in a hurry, they helped me to slow down and to pay attention to every word. Well, for centuries, the 23rd Psalm has been one of the most treasured portions of Scripture. I find that it's familiar to people not only within the church or who have grown up in the church, but familiar to many people who have no connection to the church at all. I've prayed them at the bedside of someone who is near death. I've read them at the graveside, spoken them at funerals. But Psalm 23 is not only a psalm for the end of life. As I've come to appreciate this psalm and to read it more deeply, I've come to appreciate it as a psalm for us in the midst of life, at whatever age or stage we might find ourselves. It offers both words of comfort and words of challenge. To those feeling too busy and overwhelmed by life, Psalm 23 promises refreshment and restoration in green pastures and beside still waters. To those who are uncertain or fearful, it reassures us of God's presence always and God's protection. To those searching for a way forward, the Lord will lead in paths of righteousness. For the psalmist, these things were not only future promises, but they were present realities. They weren't just things to look forward to someday, but they were certainties in the psalmist's life. They were not questions, they were affirmations. God is my shepherd and will lead us today. God is the one who can give us rest and restoration. To our ears, and in such a wonderful children's feature, The words of this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," might sound like comforting words. Only a shepherd was not always seen as a positive image in the ancient world. So in the ancient world, shepherds were not exactly on the top of the social ladder. In fact, if you were a good, religious, law-abiding Jew, you would not invite a shepherd to your dinner party. First of all, you would hardly know where to send the invitation, because shepherds lived out in the fields with their sheep, in their tents. They would go and graze in one place and then another place. They were people of no fixed address. They roamed, depending on the weather and depending on the grazing conditions. And their work as shepherds outdoors kept them from following all of the Jewish religious law, because they couldn't wash or keep the Sabbath in the same way that they were really supposed to. And rightly or wrongly, many people in the ancient world looked down on shepherds and thought that they were thieves. In fact, in later Jewish law, shepherds were considered so unreliable that they were not even allowed to give testimony in a court of law. But in contrast, Psalm 23 envisions God as the good shepherd. And that picture of God is repeated many times throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament as well. The prophet Isaiah said that God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. In the Gospel of John, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me," just like in the children's feature, how those sheep knew the brother who gave them the milk. "I lay down my life for the sheep," says Jesus. And then in the book of Revelation, Jesus again is the shepherd who will lead us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. This is the God who loves each one of us. God, the good shepherd, who gathers us up and who carries us close to his heart. God, the good shepherd, who gave up his own life in Jesus so that we might have life abundant and life eternal. In Psalm 23, the good shepherd supplies everything needed by the sheep. And I love the traditional wording that we heard read this morning. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It almost sounds as if it's left hanging there. But nothing is left hanging, because God, the good shepherd, supplies all that I need, all that we need. One of the things we all need in life is a sense of security and peace. In the psalm, this is symbolized by the green pastures and the still waters. It's a peaceful scene. And yet, Psalm 23 is also very realistic, because this psalm also includes the valleys. It includes the darkness. There's a mention of enemies. There is difficulty and death. Because as we know, life is not always beautiful and peaceful like those still waters. There is challenge and there is loss. And so Psalm 23 says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In biblical times, the rod was used by the shepherd to guard the sheep, to protect them from wolves. The staff with its large crook on it could help to steady the sheep when it would cross over rough ground or when it would go over a dangerous chasm. And in the same way, God, the good shepherd, protects and guards and supports us. God doesn't simply point out a dark valley and leave us to struggle through on our own. But like a good shepherd, God is with us every step of the way and steadies us. The reference to the valley of the shadow of death might make us think immediately of the end of life. Even then, we are never alone. We may have family, we may have friends, we may have wonderful caregivers, we may have the prayers of the church, and we also have the presence of the Holy Spirit. For God is a shepherd who keeps close watch over us, who protects us and guards us. In the valley of grief, in the valley of loss and confusion that comes with the death of someone close to us, we are not alone, but God walks with us to guide us and guard us and protect us. But that valley of the shadow of death is not only a reference to a literal shadow of death at the end of life. 5 years ago, one of our students graduated from Bible school, and he felt called by God to move to the downtown east side of Vancouver to work with people who were struggling with addiction. And we've kept in touch over those 5 years as he and his wife have been ministering there. And 2 weeks ago, we invited him to come back to our church and to share what he's learning so we could hear about his ministry. And he said, out of his own experience, he talked about his struggle with anxiety, with that dark place that would sometimes come over him. And he shared about some of the men that he worked with in this recovery home and about their dark places. And then he said this, "But even when I think I have found the darkest spot, I discover that God is already there. God is the one who sustains and saves us." That's really the message of Psalm 23. And he discovered that in his own experience as he lived it out, that whatever difficulty or darkness we might face in life, God is the good shepherd who gives us strength, who guards us and leads us forward and restores us. Well, some of you here might be facing some important decisions, some difficult decisions in your life. We may have some hard decisions to face as we face the realities of the world around us. Some of us may be making important decisions about work or school or friends or family relationships. And Psalm 23 says that God is our shepherd through those difficult decisions. Some of us may be facing some challenges in our lives. We might feel tired or worn out, stretched out beyond what we can bear. God is with us and can restore our souls. Jesus is the good shepherd who says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Psalm 23 ends, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Sometimes the journey through life is filled with joy, and sometimes it's very sad or lonely or frustrating. But the end of the journey through life on earth is to be in God's presence forever. The goodness and mercy that follows us are not something we achieve on our own, but they are granted to us by the grace of God, who is our good shepherd. And so I commend to us Psalm 23 as words of comfort. God leads us and God restores us, And they are also God's word to us of challenge. If God leads us, since God leads us, how are we following? And since God restores us, how will we use that restored and renewed energy and focus? Words of comfort and words of challenge from Psalm 23. And I couldn't quite leave that example of my friend in meditating on Psalm 23 and rewriting it as a way of meditating deeply on each word. And so I'd like to share with you, this is Psalm 23, another paraphrase in the letter G. The Lord is my guardian. He gives, and I am grateful. He grants me rest in green grasslands. He energizes me by great geysers of grace. He gives good growth. He guides me in generous paths of goodness for his name's sake. Even though I grumble and groan at the gloom of death, I grasp your hand, for you are with me. You guard and ground and grow me. You gather me in for the grand gala, while others might glance and glare. I glow in gleaming garments and golden garland. My goblet overflows. Surely goodness and grace shall be God's gifts that keep on giving and giving. And I will glorify God in the galaxy of gladness forever. Amen.